Hey, business owners, this is Rashad Brown with Swipe Fast, located in Columbia, South Carolina. We are excited to be partnering with Jesse E. Canty and the How Bad Do You Want It podcast. Since 2017, Swipe Fast has been helping business owners like you save up to 99% in their debit and credit card processing fees. So if you process business to business or business to consumer payments, we have solutions that will meet your needs and would love to hear from you. You can reach us at swipefast.com/save. That's swipe, spelled with a Y, or contact us at 1-800-597-0713. Don't forget to let us know that Jesse E. Canty sent you. Have a blessed day.
Hey, this is Jesse Canty with another episode of How Bad Do You Want It? Listen, everybody wants to prosper. I mean, everybody do, wouldn't you agree? The word prosper basically means to do well or to succeed at something. Everybody wants that, basically. But the problem is this, everybody don't take the same route to accomplish that. I mean, there are so many different conniving ways that people are taking to try to prosper in life. Well, that's what this episode is about. I already talked about part one of this, but I want to talk about it on part two now. And I want to title this, Wisdom to Prosper, Part Two. Let's talk about it. Yeah, man.
Man of wisdom. From the pulpit to the podcast, from the pulpit to the podcast, yeah. Jesse Canty, pursuing my destiny, yeah. Tell me, how bad do you want it?
Hey, welcome to another episode of How Bad Do You Want It? I'm your host, Jesse E. Canty. Yeah, man, this is Wisdom to Prosper Part 2, episode number 228. On the last one, I said it was 226, but it was actually 227. I got ahead of myself. This one is 228, though. I got a lot to say. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Lead me and guide me. Let me hear from you, God, and let us hear from you. And let us believe and let us apply it. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wisdom to Prosper. That last episode, man, it was powerful. It laid the groundwork to where I want to go now. And I love that title, Wisdom to Prosper. Again, to be successful at a thing. God said that he will give you the power, the ability to get wealth. If you're going to, and I don't just mean just finances, because there are different types of ways to prosper. I'm going to give you seven laws to prosperity or how would you experience the whole life of prosperity? I know prosperity is the P word that a lot of people don't want to hear because some have preached what they label as be a prosperity gospel. Well, I'm not really talking about that. I'm just talking about how can you apply godly wisdom in your life to be successful. And real quick off the top of the bat, the seven areas that you can apply that godly wisdom would be spiritual prosperity, number one. And you cannot have spiritual prosperity without being born again. Born again. It starts with your soul. There are people, many people in this world that are, according to the world's term, they are successful. They are prospering, but they may not even know Jesus. And I'm talking about, again, I'm talking about the prosperity or the way of prospering from the godly aspect, which is the one that means the most and is important. Spiritual prosperity. You must be born again. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, make him Lord in your life, your spirit is reborn and brought into fellowship with the Father, our God Almighty. Spiritual prosperity is one law of prosperity. Number two, emotional prosperity. You want to be prosperous in your emotions. You want to truly have the peace that flows from God. You want to have that joy that cannot be found in this world without Christ. I mean, that's why we see people marrying over and over again or using antidepressants on drugs, alcohol, contemplating suicide, or maybe they're jealous and tearing somebody else down and they're just living a godless life because they don't have emotional prosperity. They don't have the peace of God that calms your emotion. We all go through ups and downs, but when you have God with you. He will calm you and give you an even keel. Even when you're going through ups and downs, he will give you emotional prosperity. Then there's number three, a mental prosperity. I mean, the world thinks of mental prosperity as simply knowing it all. But God has so much more intended when we talk about mental prosperity. He's talking about the mental in your mind, which includes a revelational knowledge or your mental ability beyond your own, which what I like to call wisdom. God will give you that wisdom that will give you the ability to prosper. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, because that is the title of this episode. He'll give you a sharp mind until the day that you go on to heaven. I mean, it means he said he will be able to cast down imaginations and be in control of your own thoughts. That's that mental prosperity. Excuse me. He also give you number four, physical prosperity. I mean, the world system of healing makes a god of the hospital and god of the medicines. You know, I'm talking about makes a god out of the hospital and have men look to doctors and medicine only. But God will give you physical prosperity that will cause your body to be blessed. Oh, man, he said something like this. I know it was in John, 3 John 1 and 2. He says, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prosper. So that soul prospering is that spiritual and also mental prosperity, but he wants our bodies, that physical prosperity. And then you also will have number five, relational prosperity. That means you want to be successful in your relationships. God will give you and grant you good conduct or levels of integrity. And when you can take it into your marriage, you can take it in your friendships, your relationship with your friends, and even rearing your children's. When you do it God's way, this will guarantee you relational prosperity. Number six is what we would call accomplishment prosperity. In other words, God will give you favor. I mean, when you have favor, it opens doors for you and causes things to go your way that you did not have to rig or have to set up on your own. He will call you to be successful. I mean, man, I'm telling you, when you succeed at something, you prosper, and God desires you to have a successful life. He will call you to accomplish things. If you live your entire life here and you don't have any accomplishments, then I have to say, I don't believe your life was prosperous at all. Number seven, the last one, is financial prosperity. I put that last because that's what we think of first when we hear about prosperity or prospering. Financial prosperity. God will bless you financially. We ought to prosper that so we might have provide abundantly for our families. He never intended for you to struggle. And I'm telling you, man, for everybody who always saying the devil is attacking my finances. I mean, he all up in my money. The devil ain't got a credit card. He ain't got a checking account. He don't have any of that stuff. He's just attacking. So it's us. It's our responsibility what we do or whether we not do or not prosper financially. But he has to give you the wisdom how to position yourself to prosper financially, especially when it comes down to the kingdom of God. We already know what I quoted last time, what Jeremiah 29 says. God says, I have plans for you. I want to prosper you. Again, don't let nobody make you feel bad about you wanting or having a desire to prosper. But God said he has a plan. He has plans to prosper you, to not harm you, to give you a future or a hope or expected end. And I like the word plan. I think I talked about it on the last one. We get ready to get a little deeper. God will give you strategies. Wisdom to prosper is basically saying, God, give me your strategy for me to be successful. One of my favorite places in the Bible is James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. It's entitled Wisdom from Above. Everybody, wisdom don't come from above. There are some hoodwinks, some jacklegs, some conniving people who can tell you how to get 5 checks from the government and don't deserve one of them. There are people that can show you how to steal. There are people that got conniving ways to get money or come up on a lick, an abundant increase, and it's not the legal way. That is not wisdom that come from above. The Bible talks about it. Listen to this. It says in James chapter 3, verse 13, it said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, or the word behavior there means, conversation means behavior, out of a good conversation or behavior, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, fleshly, and is devilish. God says when you have somebody whose your life is full of envying, is bitterness, is strife, you're not doing things the legal way, you got something that you got to hide and you want to keep a secret, God says that that wisdom does not flow from above. It is fleshly, it's from the earth, and it is inspired by demons. Oh, yes, I said it. The Bible says it's devilish. I mean, you're taking your cues not from God. I want the wisdom to prosper that flows from above. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. God said that I will give you the wisdom that comes from him that is pure. It's peaceable. God said it is without partiality, which means it will work for anybody. There are principles, God-given principles, for you to prosper. I want to, in other words, if you take James chapter 3 and interpret another way, I want to have direct access to receive wisdom from above. I want to be connected to God. This is that wisdom to prosper now. I want to be connected to God, and you can do it too. I want to be so connected to God to where I take my cues from heaven. I mean, he will tip me off and tell me what way to go. He will tip me off and tell me when to move and when not to move. Don't you know that's what he did in the Word of God? I mean, it's all throughout Scripture, literally from Genesis to Revelation. But I'm going to take one place in particular. Well, as an example, do you remember when Joseph Joseph and Mary was, they had already birthed the child? And when they birthed the child, the Bible said that the angels told them where to go and where not to go. He told them when to move. This was wisdom to prosper. But that wisdom came from God. God will give you the cues. And when you have the wisdom from God, it is pure. You ain't got to be hiding. You ain't got to be conniving. You do not have to lie. You do not have to do anything illegal to prosper when that wisdom comes from God. If you got to hide from the government, if you got to not tell everybody and make sure you do stuff on the low and act like you don't have nothing, but you setting out a whole bunch of stuff that you got illegal, that did not come from God. I don't want to prosper that way. I want to prosper and receive my wisdom that comes straight from God. You want God to be with you. God's favor is better than anything else. I would rather, and I put this on Facebook one day, man, I think I probably got my 5 likes. I would rather have God's favor than $1 billion. I mean that. I mean, not because I sound good saying it, but I understand how the principles work throughout the Scripture. That if you have God for you, who or even what can be against you? favor is better than finances. When you have the favor of God, it will lead you to have or be successful in every area of your life. But a person who's going to obtain his favor, we know how to talk about favor ain't fair. And I want the favor of God upon my life. Well, let me tell you, if you want to experience or receive the favor of God, that means you, in a nutshell, you have to be faithful and a trustworthy person slash worker. Now, let's start with your job. That maybe you're listening to this right now on your way to your job. And you want God to bless you real good. But you're running 5 minutes late and you really don't care about it. Well, you can't obtain the favor of God throughout your life in the way that he wants you to have it if you are not a faithful or a trustworthy person and worker. I'm going to give you an example in the scripture in a few minutes, man. But people don't talk about this. This is something that God dealt with me on years ago when I was working on the job. I used to read my Bible. I used to work 8 hours and read my Bible about 7 hours. I used to sit in the bathroom, and there's some people who work with me who know I was telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. There are people who work with me who knows I used to take bathroom breaks about an hour or two in the bathroom, and I would be reading my Bible. Oh, man, I was being blessed by the scripture, too. And the Lord started dealing with me and said, "This," and I started reading about how Joseph was faithful when he worked for Pharaoh. Or Potiphar, excuse me, when he worked for Potiphar, and how God used faithful men, even though they was working in the corporate world or for wicked people, they were still faithful. God started dealing with me and says, if you want to prosper and if you want to have me be successful in your life, you have to be a man that is faithful and trustworthy. And he started dealing with me on some things. Listen, I'm not going to have you turn to it, but there's two places in the scripture. And literally, again, there's many places you can use example on this, but there's two in particular that I really love. I'm going to show you how you have that wisdom for God, from God to prosper. One, there's a place in, Genesis 26, I believe. It's around in the Genesis 20-something, but I believe it's 26, where the Bible talks about Isaac living in the land, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't want to take time to turn to it right now, but you'll get the main point. Isaac was living in a land. The Bible says he dwelt in that land. I believe it was Gerar. He dwelt in that land a long time. And it was a famine in the land. That's how it opens up. There was a famine in the land. That means scarcity. Isaac was living in that land for a long time and he was experiencing a famine. He had his wife with him. But all of a sudden, Isaac lied and told, Amalek? He told Amalek that this was his sister. And I can tell you about where he got that lie from, how it passed down through a generation curse that started with his father that was a half lie, half truth about his wife. But here come Isaac telling a lie that was a full lie. His wife was not his sister. But he said that this is my sister. So that was a lie. That was dishonesty. Hear my point I'm making. That was dishonesty. Now, mind you, again, Isaac was in the land, according to the scripture. He was in the land, living there a long time, experiencing a famine. I mean, lean time. He wasn't prosperous at all at that moment. So what happened is, make a long story short, the king, Amalek, I believe, looked out and saw something that the way Isaac and his wife was carrying on was not like no brother, no sister. The lie came out, make a long story short. And what was hidden, buried in dishonesty, was exposed. Now, when you find this in the scripture and you read it, watch this. Right when the lie was exposed, go to the next verse and see what happened. The Bible says these words, and I'm going to quote it. It says, then Isaac sold in that land and received 100-fold in the same year. Where are you talking about then? Why are you talking about then? That means after the dishonesty was removed, after the lie was removed, Isaac, who'd been in that land a long time and was still experiencing famine because everybody else was too, after the lie or dishonesty was uncovered, he sold in that land and he received in the same year, not 5 years later. quick response, quick blessings that he received, and he succeeded. He increased 100-fold, which means 100 times what he was before. The thing that most people miss there is that if you want to prosper, then you need to work on removing dishonesty. A false balance is abomination unto the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. That's Proverbs. That means God does not bless lies. God does not bless dishonesty. It is abomination to him. God never told you to not pay your taxes. In fact, he told you to render unto Caesar what is Caesar. Render unto God what is God. So, therefore, you pay your taxes. And what do you mean, render to God? Don't forget about the second part. Yeah, you ought to return your tithe as well. God wants us to be honest people. You will be surprised how many people go to church and we are living in dishonesty financially. But we'll get in that line and plant that $27.32 because we want to be millionaire. We want to be blessed. And you cannot be blessed if you're living in a life of dishonesty. God dealt with me. I got many testimonies on this. Where even as I run a business, if you want your business to prosper, then you gotta pay taxes. If you want your business to prosper, pay your people right. If you want your business to prosper, do what you're supposed to do. If you want the favor of God that flows from above upon you, then you must be faithful and trustworthy, and you must do stuff the right way. And I know none of us is perfect, and I'm so grateful that God gave me his grace and his mercy to get things in order so I could prosper, and it didn't just happen overnight. I didn't just go from bad, doing things bad, to do everything perfectly overnight. I'm still making a change, but I came a long way. Another place in the scripture, and now watch that. Isaac was prosper. He began to prosper after that dishonesty was removed. Another place in the scripture where God give you wisdom to prosper is in Genesis. I'm going off the top of my head, I think 31. If not, Google Jacob and the speckled sheep or speckled goat. Jacob, and you can go read the story because I'll be in another 20 minutes saying this. Jacob was working for his father-in-law, Laban. That's a story in itself. Man, that's a story in itself. But Jacob was tired of working with him, wanted to leave. Laban came to him basically, the way Laban was a conniving cat, man. And Laban tried to talk him into staying again like he'd done the previous time before. But God gave Jacob wisdom. Laban said, man, how much I got to pay you for you to stay here with my grandkids and my daughters? Jacob, you ain't got to pay me nothing. But I tell you what you can do. Give me all of the speckled goats. Give me all of the speckled goats that you have, the ones that dotted and they're not full color. You keep all the white, pure white ones. You keep all the pure brown ones. Give me the dark ones and the speckled ones. And these are the ones that were not considered pure or the best of the flock. He said, and usually when you really study this, it's about 10% of in history of a man's cattle or flock, flock would be imperfect with spots and stuff. So Laban said, this is a good thing. I go ahead and give it to him. I give him these speckled goats, and that'd be his pay. But Jacob got wisdom from above to prosper. Jacob got all of those. And what happened? Let me tell all the truth, man. If I'm going to tell the truth, tell the whole truth. Right after they made that agreement, Laban, his old conniving self, went out immediately and removed all of the male speckled goats and all of the female speckled goats out of the bunch. So when Jacob went to go get his pay, which were the speckled goats, it was not any there. He started him out working a 40 hour and didn't pay him nothing, basically. So he went there. This is how conniving Laban was. But God had a plan for Jacob to have wisdom to prosper. Jacob took what few little speckled that he could find, and he separated them 3 days' journey from Laban's. And the Bible talks about whenever whenever Laban's goats came down to the water troughs to drink, Jacob took some wood, three different types of wood. I can remember poplar wood, plain wood and some other type of wood. And he stripped them and made them basically striped. And he put them right in front of where the goats would be drinking. And also at the water trough, they would be breeding these pure goats, white goats of Laban's. Jacob put these sticks and plants in front of them that were spotted. And while they were drinking, they was looking at the spotted sticks. And while they was breeding, they was looking at the spotted sticks. And all of a sudden, when they had babies or when they had offspring, guess what? Whoop, there it is. They came out spotted. And not only that, but Jacob, he took the sticks down whenever there was frail goat or weak goats drinking at the water trough. He didn't want to rebirth. He didn't want to birth from the weak one. He took the strongest goats of Laban's and put it dead in front of him, which it didn't take from Laban, but it increased Jacob. This was God-given, I believe, wisdom that caused Jacob to increase. And then years later, Jacob had more than Laban. I'm trying to tell you, God will give you wisdom to prosper. You don't have to rip nobody off. You don't have to hate nobody. I heard somebody say, blowing out somebody else's candle will not make yours shine no more brighter. You don't have to hate on nobody else. I don't have to compete with nobody to prosper. God will give you wisdom on how to make strategic moves. Don't you remember that Jesus spoke to over 5,000 men, not to mention women and children? He spoke to them, I think, for about 3 days. Don't you know there was no microphone system out there at that time? Jesus knew to position himself in the midst of mountains where his voice, when he speak, the wind would carry it and over 5,000 to 15,000 people would hear him speak without a microphone. Jesus had wisdom to be successful. God will give you strategic wisdom from above on what to do, when to do, how to do, what to write on, how to open up your business, what sales to make. If I get off on that, man, we'll take another 15 minutes. That even in my time of 8 years of running my business, one of my businesses, God gave me wisdom, and he's doing it now too. He'll hook you up with the right people that also show you and teach you wisdom as well. But he gave me wisdom how to increase my business. When I needed to rebuild my business, build my business number one from the ground up, he showed me how to do it. Then after a bad episode of business, that I just said that way, and I had to go back and rebuild my business and set it apart again, guess what? God gave me wisdom. He gave me strategic ideas on what to do and how to do it. What Jacob practiced in the Bible with those striped sticks was basically what we know today as selective breeding. He combined it with wisdom that put visual feel during the breeding. He showed those goats a striped wood in front of them. And when they had it on their mind and they saw it during their breeding, they birthed the same thing. Strategy, strategic plans. Ask God to give you a strategic plan. That basically means he'll give you a plan or a method or a clever stratagem. He'll cause you to devise a plan or steps and procedures on what you need to adapt or adopt to do in your life so you can be successful. I am a firm believer, man, that God will give you a plan. And when he give you a plan, it'll set you apart from anybody else. And they look at you, they start to hate on you. They start to be jealous of you. That's why you ain't got to copy nobody else. You don't have to walk in nobody else's footstep. God will cause you to pave your own avenue. All you got to do is not walk by what people say. Take your cues from above and God will tip you off on what to do, when to do, and even how to do it. But you got to ask God, Lord, give me a plan. And when you give me a strategic plan, you'll get all the wisdom. You'll get all the glory. You'll get all the honor because the wisdom will flow from above. I pray that this right here, I'm going to give you another part in it, but I'm going to title it something different. But I pray that this episode was a blessing to you. If it wasn't, go back and listen again, and I promise you it will be. No, I love you. Y'all be blessed. How bad do you want it? Pursuing my destiny. Pursuing my destiny. Hey, this is Jesse Canton, man. I wanted to just say before you listen to this podcast, thank you for taking the time to download this podcast. Listen, I need your help. If this podcast have ever been a blessing to you, drop me an email. Let me know. Give me some feedback. This podcast is heard in over 60 countries and over 860 cities. Drop me an email at Jesse Canty, J-E-S-S-E-C-A-N-T-Y, podcast@yahoo.com. I want you to let me know how it's been a blessing to you. Maybe you want to donate. If you've been blessed by this thing, you can donate at Jesse E. Canty on Cash App or even Zelle me, or at least pray for me. Do something to help a brother out. I want to tell you thank you again, and I hope this episode bless you.